Well, this morning I want to talk about a very specific expression of being stirred or being moved, and it's this. It's being stirred to declare. Being stirred to declare. And so here's the goal of the message. The goal of the message is that you would open yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you stir me to make a declaration? And maybe it's a declaration over yourself. It could be a declaration over your circumstance. It could be a declaration over someone else. And I'll talk about all those things. But right now, would you just open yourself to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, just go ahead and say it with me. Holy Spirit, I open myself for you to stir me to make a declaration. Amen. Stirred to declare. Stirred to declare. You know, the Bible's crystal clear, by the way, about the power of our words. And so Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. How many of you here have ever had a sword thrust? Words that have been reckless that pierce you? But it says this, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. James actually says, with our tongues we can bless, with our tongues we can curse. The tongue is so powerful. It's like the rudder of a ship, a small instrument that guides the whole craft. Peter writes, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And so the scriptures are filled with declarations, words that are spoken. And probably one of the most common phrases you'll see, especially in the Hebrew scriptures, is this phrase, and the word of the Lord came to. And it was always followed by a directive. It wasn't just that the word came. It was the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Today, I believe the word of the Lord is going to come to you. It's going to say, I want you to declare this. And there's always a directive. And the directive is, do this. Don't do this. In fact, 347 times in the Bible, the word of the Lord came to. So there is a difference, however, between declaring something and just simply rhetoric. You know, rhetoric is very stirring speech. Rhetoric is passionate. But more often than not, rhetoric is hollow. Why? It doesn't deliver. When God wants to declare something, he wants to deliver. And that's why you're stirred to declare, is that things would change. Declarations not only define reality, in certain situations, declarations can create reality. Because they're not our words, they're God's words. So as you invite the Holy Spirit to stir, Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we're going. Rosanna's going to come and she is going to read the scripture for us. I know you're here, Rosanna. I saw you. If you had followed along, what I did was I printed a translation of the Bible. And Charles, can you do me a favor and just get that microphone there? I just don't really want the stumbling act. Yeah, either one's fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Do you want me to carry it? Sometime, Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. Sometime later, I felt the Lord's power take control of me, and his spirit carried me to a valley full of bones. The Lord showed me all around, and everywhere I looked, I saw bones that were dried out. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones come back to life? And I replied, Lord God, only you can answer that. He then told me to say, dry bones, listen to what the Lord is saying to you. I, the Lord God, will put breath in you, and once again you will live. I will wrap you with muscles and skin and breathe life into you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I did what the Lord said, but before I finished speaking, I heard a rattling noise. The bones were coming together. I saw muscles and skin cover the bones, but they had no life in them. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, now say to the wind, The Lord God commands you to blow from every direction and to breathe life into these dead bodies so they can live again. As soon as I said this, the wind blew among the bodies and they came back to life. They all stood up and there were enough to make a large army. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, the people of Israel are like dead bones. They complain that they are dried up and that they have no hope for the future. So tell them, I, the Lord God, promise to open your graves and set you free. I will bring you back to Israel. And when that happens, you will realize that I am the Lord. My spirit will give you breath and you will live again. I will bring you home and you will know that I have kept my promise. I, the Lord, have spoken.
What a powerful, powerful scripture, right? And a declaration over and over. He said, speak to the bones, speak to the wind.
So there is power in the words of these spirits. Even when the microphone is off, there's power. So what's it mean to declare something? Very simply, declaring something is to say this. It's to make something formally or explicitly known. It's just an acknowledgement of something that is. Now, again, a declaration in and of itself does not cause things to happen. However, when that declaration is really infused by the Word of God, by God stirring something up within you, then things happen. So the power's not in the declaration itself. The power's in the name or the authority that the declaration is behind. So in the Gospels, there is just a magnificent example in Luke chapter 7, I believe it is. We read about a centurion's servant who is ill and he's about to die. So the servant was so highly valued that the centurion had heard about Jesus and his power to heal that he literally sent, he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus to say, this centurion is so highly valued. He loves the nation. His servant is deathly ill. Would you come and heal him? And Jesus makes his way toward the centurion to the servant's house. But when the centurion hears that, he goes, no. And he sent one of his fellow servants and said this, go tell him, Master, you need to come. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Why? Because he says, I'm a man like you who is under authority. I just say something and it happens. Say the word. Jesus, you just declare it. And Jesus did declare, and the servant was healed. And Jesus commends this man, a Gentile, for his faith. Why? Because there was a word that was spoken by Jesus. You don't need to come, just speak the word. Mark chapter 11 talks about declaring as an exercise of faith. So what happens is, Jesus passing along, he sees a fig tree that should have been blossoming with fruit, had no fruit. He curses the fig tree. They pass by the disciples the next day, and its roots have been withered, and it's dead. And Peter says, Rabbi, look, the tree that you cursed is withered. And Jesus answered him, have faith in God. For I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Listen carefully. The power is not in the declaration. The power is in who's behind the declaration. Jesus starts off by saying this, have faith in God. And it's not just have faith in God. It's have the faith of God. It's the faith that belongs to God, that's sourced in God. In Job chapter 22, Job is told by his friends, you shall declare a matter and it shall be established, so light will shine on your ways. It almost sounds like if I declare something, it's going to happen. You just say it and it will happen. Well, if you read the context, basically what they're doing there, they're trying to mess Job up. They're trying to shame him. In other words, Job, get it right with God. And if you do that and confess your sin, then whatever you say is going to happen. No, again, it's not the declaration. It's the one that's behind the declaration. And that's what makes declaring different than just the power of positive thinking. Or people talk about positive declaration, right? You got to be positive. You got to say it right. You got to be. And so it's like this. You're sick. Don't say you're sick. I know, but I'm sneezing like crazy. Don't say it. I'm well, I'm not sick, or you may not have any money, and you declare, I am wealthy, I am rich. you have that job interview, and you go into the job interview, I've got this, I declare, right? It's like Steve Carroll. Remember that scene in Evan Almighty where he gets himself ready for work in Washington, D.C., and he looks in the mirror, he's dressed up, and he says, I am successful, I am powerful, I am handsome, I am happy. Boy, was he in for a surprise, right? So, and then the whole thing is like negative talk somehow cancels it out. So you got to watch how, listen, speaking positive is wonderful. Nobody likes to be around a naysayer, right? I mean, let's face it. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be more than positive confession. And there's a difference between positive confession and declaration. Listen, I did a wedding when I was a very young minister. I was asked to do this wedding for a couple I didn't know. So it was referred to me, a lady, oh, I've got these dear, dear friends, they want to get married, and they're looking for a minister, and I think you should just contact them. I did, and I was just like wet behind the ears, and so I went to their house, I talked to them about their relationship, or I talked to them about God, you know, and then I said, okay, let's go through the ceremony. Went through the ceremony, and I got to the part, okay, you need to choose your vows. Here are some vows. You know, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, to love and cherish, till death do us part. That's it. Those are the vows. They were like, nah, we don't really like those. Because we believe like in the power of positive thinking. So we don't like for better, for worse. I said, well, what do you want? For good or for gooder? I mean, what is this? So somehow, some way, I mean, I was stupid and I kind of acquiesced. I said, okay, I don't know how I'm gonna kind of word this, but you'll say it. And so I did, and you know, they had the ceremony in the backyard, whatever. So several years later, I run into this woman who referred the couple. I said, hey, how is so-and-so? They didn't make it. Why? Because they hit worse. That's why. How many of you know, if you've been married, it is for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness. Isn't it? That's the way we roll. Because that's life. So it's good to be positive, but there's a difference between positive confession and declaration. And it has to do with this. It's all about the source. With positive confession, who's the source? I am. It's my words that are going to create something. With declaration, we're talking about being stirred by the Holy Spirit. So it's really God who's the source. It's acknowledging who God is. What has God said? What has God done? That's what the difference is. There's just another little nuance I just want to address. And so you will hear, especially if you're watching some of the prayers around the election, I was involved in a lot of different prayer meetings online, and there were some powerful praying. And you would hear this, like, we declare and we decree. And it was like, whoa, I'm like, wow, that's incredible. Like, we decree, they're declaring, decreeing all over the place. And it was powerful. And what they were declaring, decreeing, I was very supportive. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. But I wonder, do we really have the power to decree? I know we have the power to declare, but do we have the power to decree? And here's what a decree is. A decree is this. It is an official order issued by legal authority. So in other words, in order for a decree to really have any teeth to it, the person issuing the decree must have authority. Otherwise, a decree is worthless. So here's the deal. Say, I decide I'm going to get on, you know, those houses are on the side of the LIE. I'm just going to stand up on one of those houses with a big bullhorn, and I'm going to say, I decree that the speed limit on the Long Island Expressway is 70 miles an hour. You're like, hey, dude, everybody drives 70. I don't know what that decree's about, you know. But anyways, but the official one's like, you know, it's 55, right? Well, that decree is worthless. Why? You don't have any authority to do that. You do not have the authority to do that. Okay, well, so when it comes to decreeing, I think we need to be really careful about the authority that we begin with. Jesus says, I've given you authority. Over what realms has he given us authority? And what do we not have? So I think, listen, when it comes to declaring, yes, declare what God has said. Declare who God is. Declare his promises. That's where your source is, what God has told you. The word of the Lord came to me and said, declare this over yourself. Declare it to other people over your circumstances. Yes, it's one thing to declare what God has told you, but I think only God can decree. Words are powerful. And I'll tell you what, when they are declared out of a passion, they can stir and shape people's lives. We are here today living in the United States because of a document that was written that was actually confirmed July 4th, 1776. It's called the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by who? Their creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do you know the Declaration of Independence was adopted on that day by the Continental Congress? And what it did that day was to sever the political connections that they had to Great Britain. I wonder if today you made a declaration that would sever some things in your own life. If you decided today that I am going to sever this emotional attachment that I have with this person, with this place, with this thing, I'm going to sever that. Sometimes we call those soul ties. They're things that they're controlling influences in your life. You just can't say no. And maybe it's not an emotional attachment. It might be a physical attachment, right? It may be something that you know, I am in bondage to this, but today I make a declaration to sever. Maybe the Holy Spirit would move you. Say, Nicholas, it's not that. It's in my head. That's where I've got these connections in my head, these patterns in my head. And today, a declaration of independence that would say, God, by your Spirit moving that train of thoughts. Say, yeah, we're done with that. That just ended. You got a new root that the Holy Spirit's going to birth in my life. And so I believe the Holy Spirit wants to stir you to sever soul ties today. Today, he's going to move that. To declare your own independence. There's another very important declaration that was made on March 4th, 1933. It was FDR's inaugural speech, and he addressed a nation that was in the throes of a depression, and here's what he said. You've heard these words. First of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. I wonder what would happen if you took God's word to Isaiah, who said this. These are the words of God to Isaiah. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right arm. Those words became very, very real to a dear friend who has shared his story with us. He was involved in a terrible, tragic car accident in which his life was literally altered. He was charged. He was arrested. He was in our local news. And it was a horrible, horrible time. And what I did was, and he shared his story with us, but I remember when I just shared this very, very simple song with him. And it was a song that was based on this verse.
A popular melody, and he would sing this song, and even taught it, the song, in the chapels that he attended. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, I am your God. And I would encourage him. I said, listen, would you do this? Sing it back to God. That's a response. I will not fear,
for you are with me. I will not anxiously look about, for you are my God, and you will strengthen me. You will help me. Yes, you will. Surely you will uphold me with your righteous right hand. I will not fear, for you are with me. I will not fear.
God brought him through that very, very dark day, those dark days. You know what? The same God, if you'll make those declarations, what he has said about you, sing those songs over you, he'll say that fear will not dominate your life as well. You'll be free. Power of declarations. There was another really powerful declaration to people who were facing invasion. June 4th, 1940, Winston Churchill stirred a nation that was staring war in the face. He says, we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We will never surrender. Can you imagine? You're scared. And the Nazi forces are powerful, and you know that. And you hear your leader say, we will never surrender. I wonder what would happen if the Holy Spirit stirred those words in you. I will never capitulate. I will never surrender. I will not give any more ground to an enemy. David just said it this way in Psalm 3. He said this. Many are they, those that are around, they surround me. Many are they who say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. In other words, there's no hope for you. You're stuck. You're never going to get out of this situation. And here's what David says. He says it. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter. He's on to say in Psalm 3, I cry aloud to the Lord. He hears me. I lie down and I sleep. If you would make that declaration, I will not surrender anymore to the enemies that are around me. But instead, I'd say, God, you're my shield. You're my protector. You are the glory, the one who lifts up my head. He says, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves all around me. A declaration, I will not surrender. And there are those of you that are here today, you have enemies around you. Maybe they're not physical enemies, but they're enemies. You know them so well, and you're saying, I am not surrendering to you. God is my shield. He is going to protect. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Martin Luther King stirred a nation in 1963 when he said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And that dream, it has been forged over time and continues to grow and to develop. But I wonder if the Spirit of God would just move on us. When we see people, we'd say, wait a minute, these are the people that God has created in his image, that I'm going to love those. I'm going to love even those who are not like me. This is the way Paul puts it. For in Christ, there's neither male nor female, slave nor free. There's neither male. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. In other words, God himself looks at people that way. So here's what we're going to do. This is the fun part. We're going to activate today. And what I mean by that is we're, I just want to put it into practice. Is that okay? Just instead of hearing the message, we're going to put it into practice, because the goal is for you to come into alignment with the Spirit of God, who wants to speak something to you. To you. Just like he spoke it to me. Okay, it's a couple weeks old because we missed last week, but it's fresh. It's like fire in my bones, you know? So we're going to activate. Here are the three expressions of the activation. The first activation word that I want you to consider is this. Sometimes when God speaks, he speaks for us to renounce something. That's the spoken declaration. It's a really strong word. So what God would say to his people many, many times, he'd say, listen, that's wrong. That's got to go. You need to renounce or repent. It's wrong. It's sin. It's sin against God, sin against other people. And listen, renouncing is different than confession. So I just want to get that straight. Confession is wonderful. Confess your sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So here's what the word confession means. It means simply, I agree with God. God says this is wrong. I identify and say, God, that is wrong. I confess. In other words, I agree with you. The word renounce is so much stronger than that. The word renounce literally means to terminate. You terminate the relationship. You stomp all over it. I will not demonstrate. Stomp all over it. You stomp on it. That is how impassioned you are about the relationship. And so is there, renunciation is not a feeling word. It is an act of the will. Would you ask the Holy Spirit right now if there's an area in your life that you need to renounce? Say, Holy Spirit, show me. Is there an area I need literally to denounce? And today, you serve notice to that area. I am terminating the relationship with you. And that may be, it may literally be a physical relationship, a relationship that you have with someone that's just toxic. They are harmful for you. And you're in that relationship. You need to say, today is the day I sever that. But it could be an emotional tie as well. What's the tie that needs to be severed? The renunciation. And then the second expression of how we're going to activate is simply this, is not just activating by renouncing. We're going to declare something over ourselves, and we're going to declare what God declares over us. So it's declaring his word over you. Again, it's different than positive confession, because positive confession is based on me. Declaration in the scripture is really based on who God is and what God says over you. And where do you get those words from? I'll tell you, there's a great source where you get God's words over you. It's the Bible. As you're reading the scriptures, say, God, what are you saying? Let the scriptures read you and say, God, what are you saying? And he has not given you a spirit of fear, but one of love and power and sound mind. If God is for me, who can be against me? And there are many, many, many scriptures that God has. So go to the Bible and look at the Bible and say, God, is God's word to you? And that you'd speak those words over your life. And then the third area that I want us to look at, and we're going to activate in a couple minutes, but is this. It's declaring God's word over other people. Now, this is an interesting one, because the Holy Spirit will stir you at times to give a word to someone else. And typically, this is associated with what the Bible calls the gift of prophecy. But I think it's really important. Don't get weirded out about that word. The word prophecy sometimes means foretelling, and that's done in the Bible a lot. But most of the time, it's not foretelling at all. It's foretelling, just telling you, sharing what God's impressed you and giving that word to someone else. And the Bible places some guardrails around it, so you've got to know it's from God. So in the guardrails are simply this. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he lists prophecy, or giving God, stirring up a word for you to give to someone else. And in fact, here's a great definition of prophecy. It's divinely inspired words which reveal the purposes of God. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gift of prophecy. He says, listen, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, because God wants you to speak words over people. Here are the guardrails. It must strengthen them. It must comfort them. It must encourage them. So God is never going to say to you, I want you to go to that person and say, you dirty rat, thus saith the Lord. You know, nothing like that. No, I mean, listen, there may be times that God does prompt you to strengthen someone who's going off the path. I'm not saying that God can't say that to you. And you say, listen, I don't know. This is the sense that I get. Kind of get like there's a pathway, and it's like this, and that's not going to be in a good direction. And I think that God wants to bring you back. I mean, that's an encouraging word. If you're going to go off a cliff, I don't know. And somebody said, yeah, there's a cliff over there. You might not want to go there, says the Lord. You might say, thank you, right? That's a good word. So that's the word. So declaring God's word over other people. So as we pray, I'm going to ask you to say, Holy Spirit, do you have a word that I could declare to someone? Just stir it up. I don't need to make it up. You give it to me. Do you have a word that I need to declare over my own life? Do you know how much self-sabotage goes on in people's lives? They literally undo what God wants to do in their life. Why? They have these thoughts that are going through their head. And they're just like, nope, it's never going to happen. Others may, thou mayest not. And the Holy Spirit just wants to undo those words. Speak God's words. Maybe God will just speak to you and just say, listen, that's my word. My word to you is, don't be limited by what other people have spoken over you, because I haven't spoken that over you. You see, just listen. We're going to take time to listen. Okay, ready? I'm going to close with my illustration, because we got to get to the good stuff, which is the Holy Spirit stuff, right? Activating. I have told this story several times. Forgive me if you've heard it for this eighth time. But it has been embedded in the Seeberger story. This is our narrative, and it's in us, and it'll never not be in us. For 13 years, Joy and I struggled to have a child. And in 1990, after people were praying for us, and talk about prophecies, I'm telling you, if we had as many children as we had prophecies, we had about 24, okay? Yes. Because people, I see it. I'm like, thank you. That's great. Thank you. I didn't not want to see it, but you know how pregnancy works. It's a pass-fail. You are, you aren't. And we heard aren't like a lot of times. 1990, we got the good news that Joy is pregnant, and we were elated. You guys were there, and you heard that Sunday when we stood up. We said, God has answered our prayer. And so it was so exciting, and so 2 weeks later, you know, you go for the sono, right? So we go in for the sono, and you put the gel in the belly, and the nurse is putting it on and going around and around. She kind of stops, says, you know, I need to go get the doctor. So she goes to get our doctor, does the same thing, and he says, you know what? Your blood work shows that you're pregnant. But I'm sorry, the pregnancy is in the wrong spot. It's ectopic, and it needs to be removed. Those were words that we did not want to hear at all. And we were devastated, to say the least. How could this be? You had promised, and I need to let you know, my wife is a spiritual bulldog when it comes to the scriptures. She had cards, index cards. She probably still has them. Index cards about this big, about all of the scriptures that God has about life and about all the blessings of life and children, right? All that. She had them, and she would recite them. Not because, again, the power is in God. She's trusting God to be true and faithful to what we believe that God had promised us, children. So in the face of all that, here we are. We are crushed now, and her parents come from New Jersey, and I will never forget this moment. It was March 1st, 1990. We gathered in a living room, and before Joy took, I took her to the hospital, and I prayed. And I don't know how this happened. Something stirred within me. And I don't even know the exact words, but I'll tell you what. I can tell you what it was about. Something stirred within me, and I said, this is not the end of the story. One day, Joy and I will hold a baby in our arms. And it was strong, and I knew it came from somewhere that was other than me. You know how that happens sometimes? You get it inside, you know it comes from other than you. So sure enough, 2 years later, a year later, Joy was pregnant, and she was about to deliver in 1992. And it happened to be a leap year. And so, you know, all the nurses were saying, oh, it's going to be a leap year, babies. And Joy's like, no, it was February 28th is when she went in the hospital, or February 27th she went in the hospital. Oh, it's going to be a leap year, baby. No, it's not going to be a leap year, baby. Kirsten was born on March 1st, 1992, 2 years to the day. And she was born at 10:10 in the morning when Church on the Sound was worshiping. Yeah, thank you, God. And so, you know, every time my girl gets up and she leads in worship, I'm reminded of the promise of God. That declaration. And it wasn't the declaration. Remember the declaration words. What is it about? It's about the God who wants to fulfill his promise to us, and he wants to do that for you right now. So would you just take a moment, bow your heads, just get close, just kind of draw in to the Holy Spirit, draw into the Holy Spirit's voice. Kirsten's going to come. She's going to sing. But before she does, I want to ask those questions once again. And would you ask those questions to the Holy Spirit? Say, Holy Spirit, right now, is there something that I need to renounce? Because that declaration is like a really important one. You don't want to miss that one. Close. I want to invite you to come for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, it may be you need prayer for physical healing, or there's some things that are going on in your life that you just want to agree with someone in prayer. Our prayer team is going to be here. Also today we have prophetic prayer. We have a group of people just gathered that want to encourage you, strengthen you, comfort you, just to listen that God would give them a word on behalf of maybe something you're going through. So I invite you to do that. Just go in the foyer. I think there's a sign up in the foyer there, and just sign up and just listen to what God has to say and just hear his voice, you know. So come and receive prayer here. It's very powerful. Things have happened here. When we pray, God meets us in that place. But, you know, you ended with that word, right? I believe. I will say this again. You don't live beyond what you believe. You don't live beyond what you believe. I believe. So come here, go and receive ministry. Let me bless you with the words of Scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, wholeness, completeness. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week.